Because it excites me too. I get excited about people who get excited about the gospel. Because I can't think of anything more exciting. Anything I could ramble on about for hours. Think about people, let's talk about sports for hours. Let's talk about this for hours. Let's talk about the news. Let's just ramble on about the news. Or even, let's ramble on about speculations about prophecy. Just ramble on. And people gladly listen to those fools. They suffer fools gladly. But when it comes to things that would benefit us to eternal life, you do ramble so. Would you get to the point? So Jesus says, hey, which is easier? I can say this or I can say that. The same thing. I can say your sins are forgiven. I can say get up and walk. What's the difference? For him, there was no difference. It was to show he had authority, to testify that God heard him. Verse 13, and he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, follow me. And he rose and followed him. That's Mark's account of the calling of Matthew. Matthew called Levi, the tax collector. They were very despised in the Jewish nation. And they would be ostracized from normal society. He would be an odd guy to call to be an apostle. But he got to write the first book of the New Testament. Because see, that's the thing, is that people don't recognize who he's calling. Like Peter said, I'm a sinful man. Matthew was a sinful man. Easy to tell because of what he did for a living. Easy to tell. I could pick out people by their occupations and say they're sinful. I could. Some occupations are just sinful. Think about it. What do you do all day? What is your preoccupation? Verse 15. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples. For there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. People oftentimes have this picture of Jesus as he parties, right? You know, the buddy Christ, he's your buddy. He's got his thumbs up. He's winking his eye. He likes to hang out with the sinners. He likes to party with them. They're cool. He's cool too. And there's that sort of image of he would just kind of hang. And you know what, though? Understand, like he says, he came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He's calling sinners not to accept their sinfulness and receive him and continue to sin. But he is calling them to repent, to turn from their sins. He's calling those who need something. He was calling people who knew they needed to be delivered from their sins. You know, I think they like to imagine Jesus as gathering in our postmodern sort of morality with people and saying, I accept you like, you know, hey, you're like that, you know, we're all sinners. Let's just be who we are. That's what you are. You know, you need to live out those things that are part of you. They really want to be their sins and they feel comfortable in their sins. People who feel like they are who they are, and they're comfortable in the state that they're in, and don't feel like, I need a real big change. I'm sick. I'm a sick man who needs to be altered. I'm a sick person who needs to be changed. Without that, you are just like a scribe and a Pharisee. You know, the people who think they're fine, and they don't need a savior, and they're sinners. Those people they qualify as whole. They don't need a physician. They don't need Christ. You have to recognize your needs for a Savior. He called them to repentance. If you bristle at someone saying, well, you're a sinner, or you glory in it, then Christ is not really calling you. Because some people glory in their sins. Others bristle at the idea, what, you know, you're trying to lay your morality on me, blah, 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 blah. You trying to tell me what I should do or how I should live my life? Oh, sorry, I didn't realize you're not sick. You don't need a physician. He didn't call the sinners to accept themselves as they are. You know, he didn't say, hey, I accept you, man, and hey, it's cool, that's how you are. You know, we all have flaws, we all sin. That's the way it's gonna be, you know? But hey, I love you. Will you just love me back? Some people think that's the gospel. It's like, hey, God loves you. Why don't you just love him back, and then we'll all live together in happiness, man. And if you don't believe him, he's going to turn you to hell, man. Yeah, so let's just all love each other. Well, I don't know. It's just wrong on many accounts. See, we look at, I'm not sent to the men of Jesus' generation. As I said before, I'm sent to the men of my generation. In Jesus' generation, there was this religious hypocrisy, and God knows we have it today. And I've started off picking on sinners who don't need repentance. And now I'm going to start off on Christians who don't need repentance. Because there's a lot of Christians out there who, you know, we're all sinners, aren't we? We're all sinners. They'd love to say that. I never see that statement ever made in the New Testament. All have sinned. All have sinned. You were these things once, but now you are cleansed. He hath forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. I'm quoting from different scriptures in the New Testament. Because we are to be cleansed. We are to be relieved of our sins. We are to be made free from our sins. Not in a theoretical sense, as some would say, but in a very real sense. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed, not free in theory. I want it to be free indeed from your sins is that you don't commit sins. Whoever commits sins is the servant of sin. These are the doctrines of Jesus Christ. And if they're foreign to you, it's because you haven't been taught the doctrines of Jesus Christ. And if you rejoice in them, hello, brother. The scribes and Pharisees of that generation, yeah, they had this sort of uppity, we're the righteous attitude, right? And you say Christians today, well, they're not quite the same. No, but they still fulfill the same attitude. I don't need anything more. I believe in Jesus. I don't need to add to that. Faith plus nothing is good enough for me. You know, faith plus, all I got to do is believe. And I confess him with my lips. And I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. So I don't need to do anything more. My faith is complete. I'll tell you what, I run into this attitude. I run into people everywhere who are complete. Who need nothing more. And if you were to ask them, are you perfect? They would say, no. I said, well, you act perfect, like you don't need anything more. They're not perfect. But they act perfect. They act like they don't need anything more. They don't want to hear the gospel. Because, you know why? Because the gospel is more than they've been taught. And therefore, they bristle because they feel like, I thought I had everything sewn up.